Book of John, or 1 John, chapter 3. We continue our study of blessed assurance found in 1 John chapter 3. We begin today in verse 1. The title of the message is It Real? Now I want you to, Les, can we be honest this morning? Okay, how about this? How about if we're honest with ourselves and God? You don't have to be honest with me, and I don't have to be honest with you, right? And I'm talking about our spiritual condition. I want to be honest with you. But let's, from the very beginning, let's make a commitment that today, that everyone present, whether in the balcony or on the floor, whether in the back or in the front, middle or the sides, let's be honest with ourselves and with God. As we read 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, would you stand with me as we read? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him, purifies himself, just as He is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you today praying for understanding of your word. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Help us, Lord, that we may be honest with ourselves as well as honest with you as we study this text. And I pray that you'd reveal to us where we stand with you. And that you'll give us the heart to respond appropriately to your revelation. Oh Lord, we love you. And how we need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now as we begin this, I want you to understand the idea behind these scriptures is that you can know, that you may know what is of God and what is not. More specifically, that you may know who is of God and who is not. Now, if you're like most of the world, we look around and we see people who claim to be Christians, but their life just doesn't match it. Have you seen that? I mean, it don't work. It's kind of like saying, Well, it's just being very confused. There are some things that don't work. And to profess Christianity and to live completely opposite of everything Christianity stands for, something is wrong. And so today John's going to teach us to be able to recognize those who would claim to be Christians, but they're not really Christians. But it also helps us in giving us assurance, hey, is what I have real? Is what you have real? Everybody at some point, everybody I've ever dealt with at some point has had doubts. You know, did I really receive Jesus Christ as Savior? Did I really mean it when I did it? Well, today, let's lay aside the doubts and let's be truthful, okay? That's the idea here. And we began with an identification. Have you been identified with Christ? And the first step in this process of finding out is what I have real and is what they have real is understanding the love of God. Verse 1. Behold. Just read this in the way it's written. Behold. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. There's a passion there in which that was written. When it says, behold, what manner of love, he's not saying, what kind of love is this? It's saying, look, look, can't you see the love that God has lavished upon His children? What kind of love is that? That we should be called children of God. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Who are you? Who am I to be called a child of God? This is the Creator of the universe. This is the all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty God. Who am I that I could be called a child of the perfect, only Heavenly Father? I'm nobody. But it's by His grace. And I can go back to that time where I got on my knees, little church in Griffithville, Arkansas, and I asked Jesus to save me. And it was at that point I became a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Understand who you are if you are a child of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are somebody not because of you, but because of your Heavenly Father. Today I want to start with just the privilege that has been made available to all mankind. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's you, 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 you up there. And everyone who hears the message. Who are you to be called a child of God? You're nobody, but the great God that you serve has lavished His love upon you. Isn't that so cool? Well, you see, I had nothing to do with it. Oh, but it's the great mercy, the great grace of a loving God that's been poured out upon us. You see, it's this love that's the difference between religion and relationship. When you operate out of love, you operate on a whole different realm, a whole different level. You can come to church and not love. You can be a Baptist, Methodist, Pentecost, or whatever you want to be and not love. But you'll never get it. You'll never get who Jesus is until you grasp this love that God has for you and that we should have for one another. It starts with the identification. One identified as the child of God who is loved so very dearly. Then it moves to a purification. You see, what happens when I'm identified with my Heavenly Father is something changes in me. And I want my Heavenly Father to be proud of me. Do you want that? I remember as a child that one of my goals in life is I wanted my dad and my mom to be proud of me. To be able to say, good job, son. You did good. I'm proud of what you did. And operating in the love of the Heavenly Father, listen, I don't do what I do trying to earn His respect. I do what I do because I want to love Him back. I can't impress my Father. I cannot impress my Heavenly Father. But I can obey my Heavenly Father. This idea of purification, look at verse 3. John says, everyone who has this hope, what hope? This hope of being a child, being called a children of God. Everyone who has this hope, this expectation in Him, purifies himself just as He is pure. What does that mean? It means exactly what it says. It means that to make free from sin. Here's the idea. Okay? That word purifies is present tense used in the scripture, meaning it's happening here and now and continually. You know, as I said, I want to honor my Heavenly Father with my life. I want to one day hear that, well done, you good and faithful servant. And so there are things that since I've been saved, I want to take out of my life, and those things are sin. I don't want sin to have a foothold in my life. But it's a daily battle. You ever notice that? You know, I have to make a decision every day. No, that's not for me. No, that's not appropriate for the child of God. No, I won't get involved in that. You know, it's an ongoing battle. But there is a continual desire in me. I do not want to disappoint my Father. Because I love Him. And because He's loved me back. He's loved me so much that He's called me His child. Verse 4. Whoever commits sin. See, here's where it gets serious. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. Now, the idea here, and the rest of this, let me explain up front. All of this, the ideas, when it talks about sin and committing sin, and that if you're saved, you don't commit sin, it's lost in translation. Every part here means to practice sin. Okay? It doesn't mean that, well, I sinned over here this one time and so I'm out of sorts with God. No, it means that I'm building a lifestyle of sin. Now hang on with me, okay? Stay with me. Because this idea of whoever commits sin commits lawlessness. And let's read verse 5. And know that He was manifested. Who's the He? Jesus. He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him. Let's read this last line with me. And in Him there is no sin. The idea of Jesus was not just so that your sins could be forgiven. Okay? Jesus came to take away your sins. He came to lift you up out of sin and set you on a new realm, a spiritual life. You know, and that's what people don't get. They think, well, Jesus is about getting forgiveness and I'll be forgiven. But I'm just going to go live any way I want to live after that because Jesus will forgive me. No, you don't get it. Jesus, there's no sin in Jesus. And when you build a sinful lifestyle, you are not in Jesus. Brother Doug, do you mean that I can't live like the devil and be saved? That's exactly what I mean. Oh, listen. Listen, my friend. It's important that we get this because there are so many people walking around in the world today saying, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus, so I'm all right. No, no. The idea in believing Jesus is making Him the Lord of your life. It is repenting from your sin, turning from that sin, and building a life of righteousness. You say, well, Brother Doug, everybody sins. We'll get to that in just a minute, okay? We'll get to that part in just a minute. But let me tell you something. Everybody's attention. Every eye upon me. Because I don't want you to walk out of here without getting this. If you can live a sinful lifestyle, and not have conviction nor the punishment of God, you better check your salvation. Because the Bible says that God chastens whom He loves. Now listen, I can start building a sinful lifestyle over here, but I know what's going to happen. God's coming after me. And it's not going to be fun when He gets me. My dad, bless him, I made a comment at his funeral, when I preached his funeral, and my comment was, my dad believed in capital punishment. My dad knew how to turn me. Yeah, I just be honest with you. He knew how to turn me. There were more times than not, when he got a hold of me, he left marks. And that's okay. Because he turned me. He took me out of a direction I was going, and he took me out of that, and he set me over here and pointed me in the direction I should be going. See, that's what the Heavenly Father does. God knows how to turn His children. And if you can live in direct opposition with God and not be turned, you better check your salvation. Okay? Because what you have is not real. Whew. Brother Doug, who are you? Just hold on, okay? Remember, this is not Brother Doug talking. This is John, the disciple, talking. All right? Which brings us to the authentication. Verse 6, whoever abides in Him does not sin. Now, we're back to where we were a while ago. Whoever abides in Him does not practice sin. All right? Get that right. It doesn't mean, oh, you know, that I'll never ever sin again. No, it's just a daily battle. We all fight that sin every day. Okay? But whoever abides in Him does not practice sin. Whoever practices sin has neither seen Him nor known Him. It's the same concept. Whoever's living, building a sinful lifestyle, you don't get what Jesus is all about. Verses 7 and 8, it states that, again, let no one deceive you there in verse 7. Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. You are what you practice. I remember going to school, they had a saying when I was in elementary school, you are what you eat. Do you remember that? Do they still say that? I don't know, but they did when I was in school. I thought it was pretty cool. But you know what John's saying? You are what you do. If you're living like the devil, you belong to the devil. Basically, you know, the long and short of it, and listen. You know, I'm not trying to point a finger and accuse anybody of anything, but at the same time, I can't sugarcoat something and say, oh, you'll be okay because you walked down an aisle one time, or your name's on the church roll. No. No. See, here's the part that many do not understand. Can a person, let's ask the question, can a person live in sexual immorality and be in Christ? No. No. According to the Word of God, you cannot. Well, Brother Doug, you know, I'm living with a guy, but I love him. Then do it God's way. Get married. Fix it. Don't continue in sin. If you can continue in sin, you better check your salvation. Okay? Can a person be a homosexual, a practicing homosexual, and be in God? No! Well, Brother Doug, who are you? I'm nobody. This is the Word of God. You are what you practice. Can a person live in bitterness and hatred and be in Christ? No. Can a person live in dishonesty and be a thief and be in Christ? No. You can a person live in lies and deception and be in Christ? No. You can't do it. Why? If you're a child of God, it will not work. That's what John is saying. Bottom line, verse 8. He who sins, please listen. And please know this didn't come from Brother Doug. He who sins, he who practices sin, is literally what it says. He who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus is about taking you out of that sin, not leaving you in it. Okay? It's not okay. That's what I want you to get. Teenagers, it's not okay to live like little devils. Adults, times have not changed. Sin today is still sin. Please. It's too important to let it go. Well, Brother Doug, what about, you know, those Bible people? You know, Bible people sinned. Yes, they did. What about David and Bathsheba? He was big, okay? It was a big sin. Now, he committed adultery. He lied, had a man killed. But you know what the difference there was? Sin was the exception in the life of David, not the practice. Okay? Now let's be honest, any of us can take a fall at any time, right? Any of us can get involved in something that we shouldn't be involved with and do something that we shouldn't do. But the point is, that is the exception, not the rule. Moses was the same way. Moses got mad one day, lost his cool, and God told him to speak to a rock and they'd get water. And Moses got mad and he just started beating the rock. That was the exception rather than a rule. Peter. Boastful Peter. He denied Jesus. But it was the exception, not the rule. You see, yes, we all fight the daily sin battle. We all fight the daily sin battle. And every once in a while we stumble. But the child of God can never be satisfied in the daily practice of sin. He can't do it. It's impossible. Which brings us to the verification. Where do you stand? This is the honesty part. All of us being honest, don't look at anybody else. The person sitting beside you doesn't matter. The person sitting behind you doesn't matter. It's about you being honest with yourself and with God. Verse 10. Here's the long and short of it. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. You know what that word manifest means? It means revealed. In this, the children of God are revealed and the children of the devil are revealed. Okay, it's like saying, okay, you can identify them. It's plain. Yes, it's like saying, okay, somebody over here sitting there in a red shirt, somebody over here sitting here in a blue shirt. It's identifying. How do you know? Because he's wearing a red shirt and he's wearing a blue shirt. John's saying, okay, here's how do you know whether they're children of God, even whether you're a child of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are revealed. How? Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. You want to know if you're saved? Read it. I'm not suggesting that we're perfect. I'm not suggesting that I stand up here before you, that I don't fight the battles of sin every day just like you do. We all do. But I will tell you, I don't want to live in sin. I don't want to live in opposition to my Father. I don't want to disappoint my great God who's loved me so very much. You can look and identify who belongs to God and who belongs to the devil. It's plain. John says it's revealed. Look at their life. Are they living a righteous life? And I'm not talking about, well, he slipped, fell, he committed a sin. No, I'm talking about, are they building a righteous life? Is sin the exception or is it the rule? If it's the exception, okay, they're a child of God. If it's the rule of their life, they belong to the devil. Even making it more personal. If it's you, you belong to the devil. Which one are you? In closing, where do you belong? Are you a child of God? Or are you a child of the devil? You may be sitting here today and you say, Brother Doug, I've been fooling myself. I've lied to me. I've lied to God. I've lied to everybody around me. What I have is not real. What I do, repent. Repent. You know, the Bible talks about repentance. It means turning away. Okay? What happens when a person is saved? We turn away from sin. And we turn to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We say, I don't want that life anymore. And you say... Maybe you're in that sin of homosexuality. Or maybe you're in that sin of fornication and that life, and you think, well, you know, Brother Doug, you just don't understand. I love that person. And someday, I always smile at the ones, you know, who move in together. That's not godly. Man and a woman living together outside of marriage is not of God. Period. It's not. Okay? But often, the lady will say, but Brother Doug, I love him and he loves me. And as long as we love one another, oh listen, if he loved you, he'd marry you. She say, oh, but Brother Doug, you know, one of these days he's going to marry me. No, no, if he loves you, he'll marry you right now. Brother Doug, I'd hate to walk out on him. Well, listen, do you want to live and practice a life of sin or you want to repent and turn to God? Okay? Choice is yours. Whatever sin you're building your life on. Okay? And you're sitting here today and maybe what I have is not real. What do you need to do? You need to repent. Forsake it. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Is it real? Is it real? Is it real? If you today confess Jesus, oh yeah, I'm saved, but you're living like the devil, it's not real. Jesus Christ came to deliver you from sin. You got to let Him deliver you. Got to let Him deliver you. You got to be willing to turn from that sin and turn to Jesus. Today, I want you to understand. Let's go back to the first. Jesus loved you so much. He poured that love out on you and for you. Do not disregard the love of God and continue in sin. The Bible says that you can be saved today if you will repent, turn from that sin and turn to Jesus Christ, seeking forgiveness. But let me tell you what, you truly turn to Jesus Christ, you'll call out for salvation, you'll not get off your knees and go back to that old way of life. Okay? Something changes. He makes you a new creation where that stuff doesn't satisfy you anymore. Instead, you want God's way of life. The way of righteousness. Are you saved? Is it real? Is it real? If it's not, take care of it today. Brother Doug, you don't understand. You know, I know I need to take care of it, but everybody's watching. Listen, don't sit here and think you're the only one. And we establish the fact that this is between you and God. It's not between you and everybody else. But I truly believe in my heart that when a person receives Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're ready to make it public. They want the world to know who they belong to. Today, will you turn to Jesus? If it's not real, will you quit living a lie and turn to Jesus? And maybe you are that child of God who God's whipping along the way. You know the things you've been doing is wrong. And every time you turn around, God's there saying, come on, come back. And you've been fighting and fighting and fighting. I'm going to tell you what, it will not work until you come back. Maybe today's the day of repentance for you as the child of God. But you turn away from that that's not godly and turn to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This invitation is for you. My question is, who are you? Who are you? Is it real? Our Father in heaven, Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, knowing that there are a lot of play actors. There are those who claim Jesus, but they're building an ungodly life. And I pray that you would convict of that sin through this message today. Help them to realize their lost condition and help them, Lord, to turn to have the courage to turn from you. I pray, Lord, that you would remove Satan and the distractions from this service today, that you'll kick him to the curb so that it's just you and us here today, and that you will move freely among us and help us, Lord, give us hearts to respond to your word. Father, we pray your will be done. In Jesus' name.